Welcome to episode 180 of the Grow Great Daily Brief for Tuesday, April the 2nd, 2019. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. Culture building, performance, or growth? I first heard the phrase learning organization in Peter Senge's 1990 book, The Fifth Discipline, The Art and Practice of the Learning Organization. Now, to be fair, at that point in my career is when I noticed the term. It was obviously in the title of the book, and largely why I bought the book. Now, maybe it had been around for a long time before that, but I was steeped in small business. I was not steeped in some global enterprise level kind of work. So maybe I was late to the game. I don't know. Doesn't matter. As always, I was in hot pursuit of the practical application of brainiacs like Professor Peter. I mean, after all, this guy had a PhD from MIT. In fact, he got it over three decades ago now. High-performing teams and organizations were more phrases that erupted from that enterprise level of operation. Makes sense. Makes sense that we should all want that. Sure beats low-performing teams, low-performing organizations. But it has spawned a bit of dialogue about performance versus growth. The practical man that I am, I've learned that performance-based cultures may not always work well over the long haul. I mean, we likely need to define the phrase, though. I mean a culture where performance is prized above most else, or all else. A culture where the measurements matter most. I might describe it as a head culture over a heart culture. Performance-based cultures, they don't fret about how people feel. They don't fret over what people may think. The priority is on, what have you done? It's that old sales manager moniker. Hey, what have you done for me lately? Measurable accomplishments. Those are the order of the day. Now, nobody is slamming a focus on performance. I'm certainly not. Our organizations have got to perform or we cease to exist. I mean, we certainly can't thrive if we don't perform, and at a high level. So I don't find any fault in working to become or maintain our status as a high-performing company, or maybe a high-performing team. But we might be high-performing no matter what culture we have. I've known high-performing teams within companies where the culture is terribly unhealthy by any measurement. I've known other companies that appeared to have a fairly idyllic culture. Yeah, but performance was just never quite what it should be. Now, it makes me wonder if it's a cart before the horse kind of a thing. We look for organizations that are performing at a high level, and we may incorrectly conclude that their culture is partially or mostly responsible. Well, maybe, maybe not. What's the sustained performance over time? What's the growth of the company, of the organization, of the team? And how are we measuring that growth? Is it merely metrics? Are things improving? Are things getting better? What is the consistency of the performance? What does that look like? Two words capture my imagination and my attention, and I've long been fascinated with both. And you hear me use these two terms quite often, purposeful and intentional. And yeah, I get that they're probably different sides of the same coin, purposeful and intentional. How purposeful, how intentional is your team or your company in developing a culture that will foster whatever it is you're chasing? Culture. Culture is a living thing. It can and it does change over time. Reason being, culture is largely a collection of the beliefs and the values that drive the behavior of the people who make up the culture. Teams and organizations tend to take on or push against the beliefs and the values of the leader or the leaders. That's why you will hear me focus so intently and so frequently on congruency, the congruency of these values and these beliefs within the collective. One of the biggest problems that I encounter in working with teams, and the problem that leaders have sometimes within the team that they are leading, is people just trying to make sense of it all. People just trying to figure out, where do I fit? Because they hear one thing, they see demonstrated one thing, but things are not the same. Things are different. Things are not congruent. For example, if honesty is a primary driver, and that's a big value for the leader of the company, But the top salesperson is constantly pushing against that with questionable tactics that are not quite as honest as they always could be. Well, there's a disconnect. That disconnect damages the culture because there's incongruency. Performance can happen without growth. In my opinion and in my experience, growth tends to foster higher performance. It's a matter of, what do you value the most, performance or growth? Now, I'm nudging you to focus on growth as a means toward higher performance. It's the ideal pathway to have your cake and ability to eat it too. Some high performance comes at the expense of making a culture toxic. It's not worth it, in my opinion. I've seen organizations, for instance, that are super competitive within the context of the organization, and that competitiveness turns toxic. Now, the performance can spike up, but if you look at it over an extended period of time, at what cost? Sometimes it's a really high price. You just have to decide this for yourself. The things needed to build growth culture are the same qualities necessary to build a growth-focused life, a growth-oriented family, a growth-intensive group, or a growth-focused team. See if you don't find these qualities suitable for higher human performance in your leadership and the higher performance among your teammates. So let's keep Peter Senge's phrase in mind, learning organization. Any learning organization can be fixated on growth over performance, or performance over growth. I'm betting my chips on growth. You can bet yours wherever you choose to. First of all, make it safe. Your role as a leader is to provide an environment that feels safe. Safe for all of your people. It means you and your entire leadership team have got to live and behave as role models where shortcomings and mistakes and any other errors, they're owned. They're not shoved off in a blame game. Finger pointing, that's out. That is not, it can't exist in a growth-focused company. It destroys safety. It fosters excuse-making, and you just don't want that. Second of all, learn. Early in my career, I took on the role of buying merchandise for a retail company. Buyers have much better real-time data today than they did when I started. Data was really hard to come by, and I was analytical. I wanted to see how well merchandise that I purchased was performing. Now, it was laborious, it was cumbersome, but as they say, the numbers don't lie. Well, anybody who has ever been in charge of purchasing has made mistakes. We do it in our personal lives, too. Ever bought something stupid and you wish you hadn't? Yeah, of course. We've all done that. Well, stories were circulated in retailing circles back in the day about buyers at various elephantine companies where a buyer would issue a really big purchase order for a product that performed poorly. And I suspected that many of these stories were myths, but you know, they often illustrated something about the company, the subject of the story. So if the company had a terrible reputation, the story might go something like this. A buyer placed $1 million PO for some merchandise. The company took repeated markdowns or discounts, making multiple efforts to try to just recover their cost. And when the dust settled, the company lost hundreds of thousands of dollars and the buyer was fired. Well, if the company had a stellar reputation, the story just went very differently. It would go something like this. A buyer placed $1 million PO for some merchandise. The company took repeated markdowns, discounts, trying to make multiple efforts to recoup their cost. And when the dust settled, the company lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. The CEO made sure the buyer was not fired or punished. Instead, the CEO led the parade for the buyer's leadership team to foster her growth and figure out what they could all learn together from this experience. And as the CEO put it, why would I fire her? We just spent $1 million to learn that lesson. Growth cultures concentrate on learning. They're curious. They seek to find out and to figure out what they don't yet know. And they also seek a deeper understanding. Thirdly, try it. You might like it. Shoot, you might even love it. The other day, I watched a YouTube car reviewer review the 2020 Kia Soul, a quirky compact car. The reviewer gave high marks to Kia for first introducing this vehicle and even higher marks for pushing the quirkiness in this new model even higher. Yes, they take some shots from other car snobs about it, Kia does, and they show that they're willing to experiment. They're willing to try a few things. company's intent on having a high growth culture put value. They put a high value on trying things. They don't play it safe. They're willing to test assumptions. They're willing to ask tough questions, find out if something is going to work or not. In short, high growth cultures are innovative. Being innovative means a willingness to try things. Fourth, constant feedback. Now, there are people who deride this term, feedback. For me, it's just much ado about nothing. I mean, they think feedback signifies being critical. I don't agree with that. I mean, instead, I view feedback like I do when I'm driving a car. All that input that I get while I'm behind the wheel of my car is feedback that alerts me on things that are critical to my safety and my progress. Do I have enough fuel? Well, the fuel gauge gives me feedback so I know whether or not I need to make a pit stop. Am I in the right gear? I drive a 6-speed manual transmission car, and the tach and the sound of the engine, that gives me feedback telling me, okay, time to shift. You need a new gear. All of that may be critical in the sense that I need it, but it is not critical in the sense that it's negative. In our organizations, we need feedback from all corners. Do we share the desire to improve and grow? If the answer to that is yes, then we owe it to each other to serve each other. And feedback enables us to help each other know our progress or our lack of progress. And it also enables us to eliminate our blind spots, to reduce or eliminate our limiting beliefs, and to challenge our assumptions, and just so much more. The 5 C's that are my focus may help you as we work to build the culture that we want. It begins with compassion. Without the ability to feel and exhibit compassion for one another, we're stuck. Nothing's going to advance until we can get to there. And once we embrace compassion, we can communicate. Effective communication may not come easily, but we can pull it off. We say what we mean what we say. And we bear the responsibility for making sure the recipient of our communication understand properly what we are intending to convey. If there's a misunderstanding, it's on us. Next, connection. Without the first two, impossible. People will never connect with you if they don't think you care about them. And if you don't care about them, what you communicate, well, that doesn't matter because they're not going to listen to you anyway. Isn't that how you roll? After connection comes collaboration. And this does not mean necessarily direct collaboration or partnering. It could mean that, but it means that we work together. At a more basic level, it simply means we're willing to help each other. And all of that, girls and boys, combines to give us culture. Culture, and it can be our inner culture. It could be our set of beliefs, our set of values that drive our behavior, our choices, but it can be culture that's established with other people too, a group, a team, a company. Pursue growth, you will likely find higher performance. Be well, do good, grow great. I went a little bit long today because yesterday was, well, come on, it was farcical. It was intentional. Did it disturb you? I hope not. The website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. I appreciate you listening, hitting subscribe. If you have, and if you haven't, well, what's your deal? Let's do this again tomorrow. See you.